This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Yes, this is the ghetto. Shown up now. Thank you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I got my head on straight, as you can sound and figure that out. And just a lovely day here in Hawaii, as always. And we got some interesting topics, a topic that we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about mortgage and foreclosures, and you've seen in the recent news where Miss Francia, the Francia Services, Edna Franco, was, I guess, assessed a penalty of $1 million total. And we have her in the studio with us, and we're going to talk about that. As you know, she appeared on the show before. And this is not an advocacy effort on her part, or my part for her, but to just get the opportunity to bring out, give her an opportunity to respond to many of the questions. I noticed that Associated Press and Advertiser, Star Advertiser, had actually some questions. But I want to look at the bigger picture, and she will explain and share with us what her role is in some of the allegations that in the rulings. And in that process, we'll talk about some of the other things with foreclosure. And I still think that, and this is my opinion, the entire process, and I don't know what all they allege, and we're going to read some of the things that the courts ruled in favor of the State of Hawaii Office of Consumer Protection, who brought this charge. And I don't know all of the details, and we hope to have Ms. Franco share with us. But what I can tell you is that, in my opinion, where I sit, the banks, we know, there was a national settlement of $25 billion that they were wrong. And I believe that the banks still control the courts. This is my opinion now. You know, we talk about the conspiracy theories of the manufacturing money in the back room and all of that and the bankers. But I still think that the court is being controlled or influenced by the banks. And while I'm not saying Ms. Franco was completely right, but I think her role, what she presents, raises a threat, and we'll discuss that to this process. And so we get $71 million here in the state of Hawaii, and then there's Act 26 that the governor signed and that allows nonprofits and lawyers to do these things. But there's a lot to be asked for. And the other reason I wanted to talk about foreclosures and mortgage and that scam or the scheme that's going on is that we don't hear much talk about it now. It's as if everything was resolved, but the reality is there are many people out there still struggling, trying to deal with that debacle that unfolded before us in the previous 8, 9, 10 years. So, Edna, good morning. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Carl.
So, there's a final judgment, and that was tossed about in the papers. Final judgment and permanent injunction in favor of plaintiff, which is the State Office of Consumer Protection, and against you, the defendant, Francia Services, LLC. What actually went on there, and you want to share with us?
Yes. Actually, the State of Hawaii are actually accusing me of property distress consultant, which is they prohibited from on 2008 for mortgage fraud prevention. Is this existing law established prohibited them from stopping the foreclosure, which is anyone, according to the law, anyone who stopped the foreclosure, you know, to the home using the property distress consultant is Hawaii Revised Statute 480-13 or whatever, mm-hmm. right? That's not my job. My mm-hmm. job is to examine all the forgery, fraud, you know, investigating all of this, you know, robo-signing, and it's all about information, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is doing research about mortgage-backed securities fraud, the Bloomberg, that all these lenders, you know, they turn the mortgage into trust, which is, you know, in New York, where the Wall Street mm-hmm. belong, is they're turning the mortgage into trust. So, you know, without the homeowner's knowledge, and, you know, which Obama investigated all of these mortgages before, which is the Department of Justice from Eric Holder, and all the attorney generals filed a lawsuit against five servicing companies, which is they got settled for $25 billion. And Hawaii got $71 million, and it distributed to the businesses, including the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. They received, like, at least $2 million. And Legal Aid Society and Judiciary, you know, everyone received monetary damages from the national settlement, which is, my job is not a property distress consultant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Forensic loan auditors actually are actually is totally different than what they think. You know, it's not a mortgage fraud prevention. Attorney are actually the one, you know, litigating the cases. Most of the people, they can do a pro se litigant, or they can hire a counsel. You know, which, you know, they can hire their own attorney to litigate these cases with, to stop the foreclosure. It's not me, it's not up to me to stop the foreclosure. It's up to the judge.
So some of the allegations, as is written here, is that they allege or infer that you were offering a service and promising to save their mortgages. What's your response to that?
That is it's a whole bunch of lies. I never promise anybody that, you know, I can save their home. Never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because my friend created one business, you know, business license, you know, like a business card.
Right.
Save your home now, right? You know, ordering an audit. It doesn't mean anything to me, because that's, you know, it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my friend tried to show that, you know, it's just for showing people that, you know, doing the analysis, right? Doing the research about the mortgage fraud,
mm-hmm.
you know, including the robo-signing, we found all of these fraudulent in doing analysis,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the attorney are using that as a leverage to settle with the bank, you know, including, you know, they can settle with a modification in the court, which is what they're doing in the federal court and the state court. Actually, you know, there's a lot of foreclosure defense, like Keone Agard, Melody Adoha, Gary Dubin, which is, you know, of course, he charged too much anyway. Well, Melody is actually the fair, very fair attorney so far, for what I know. And Robin Horner filed a class action against the bank, which is all of these state's witnesses are actually involved in getting the refund from me, which is not fair for you, because they were using the audit in the federal court.
Yeah. Now, and on page 2 of this, I'm reading the order, the final judgment. It says, let's go through this. Basically, it says, owning or operating any business in the state, this is some of the prohibitions, state of Hawaii until such time as any and all restitution, prejudgment, interest, and civil penalties entered have been fully paid. 2, engaging in any act or course of conduct in violation of Hawaii Revised Statutes 480.
Mm-hmm.
E, including but not limited, acting, quote, as a distressed property consultant and or engaging in any distressed property consultant contracts as those terms are defined, taking, asking, or claiming, demanding, charging, collecting, or receiving of any compensation until after the defendant have fully performed each service they contracted to perform or promise. So they're not saying your organization, your efforts, is illegal. They're alleging you're charging before you deliver. How are you going to respond to this now? I mean, this is a ruling. What's your next step? What
for,
do you plan on doing?
For what I understand, you cannot collect upfront fees if you are doing a modification because mm-hmm. the program is totally free. You know, anybody that accepts upfront fees, you know, doing modification is illegal. And mm-hmm. I know that for the fact. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I'm not doing a modification. And I never did, and I never, you know, I actually hate modifications. Because mm-hmm. I did that, and I tried that to my home, and it never happened.
Uh-huh.
And they promised you this and that, you know, hey, you know, we're trying to help you out if you are, you know, cold hard. We called the hard, and they give you a runaround. So I said, you know what, it's not right, it's not proper. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all of these homeowners are actually looking for justice. You know, mm-hmm. because to tell you the truth, honestly, I've been accused of the wrong, you know, it's a false accusation. In the state of Hawaii, didn't even, you know, the judge is actually not giving me chance, mm-hmm. you know, in my cases. He did not, you know, I have witnesses,
mm-hmm.
and she did not let me testify those two witnesses.
She did not allow
my two witnesses to testify. Because I said, you know, I filed a motion to dismiss. She didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what points, you know, fighting in the state court if she's going to be prejudiced to me? So, you know what, I said, I'm just going to file an appeal to the, you know, to the...
Now, these filings that you did, were they before the judge's ruling or were they after?
Before the judge's ruling.
Mm-hmm. And she did not hear them, did not...
Did not hear it. And one time I went to the court, we have a hearing, I think it was... I was with Melody. I was going to hire her, but she showed up with me just for in the court. And the attorney never even showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And she just gave him chance to say, hey, you know what, we can just, you know, continue this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he didn't show up in the court. Hey, we have a hearing date.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was an attorney that was also named in this. Was he representing you at the time? What was his name?
Well, Harry Lyason actually neglected my cases, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't realize that he received like a summer contempt of court, you know, which is Merlina Tabuy already retracted her statement
mm-hmm.
against me. And that's why they're trying to say, hey, I was in contempt of court. You know, that I did not abide by the law and I did not follow what the order because I have temporary, you know, injunction. And I just found out that, you know, she was like tried to coerce by the state of Hawaii, trying to tell the judge or the court to say, you know, this and that, that I tried to ask her to do the audit, which is I told already. You know, I don't do that anymore. My
mm-hmm.
business already closed down. I closed that long time ago.
Right. You know, on this this decision, it said it is further ordered, a judge and decreed that as to counts 1 and 2 of the complaint, and with respect to the state's claim for restitution, judgment is entered in favor of the state against defendants jointly. Defendants, you and the attorney, jointly and
mm-hmm.
severally. In the following principal amounts consumed. And they give a list of names here. Elsa Koba, there was a $2,500. Estrella mm-hmm. Agape, Marjorie Brown. But you had indicated that some of these, the checks were...
Well, some of them are bounced check, which is in Hawaii is criminal, you know.
But I mean, but when you say bounce, that...
It didn't go through.
So the question, though, is... Did you ask him to pay you
no.
for that?
No. I have actually an agent in Maui. I hired 3 agents in Maui,
mm-hmm.
which they are the one receiving the checks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're the one depositing money. The agent, the name of the agent is Marcelino Aquino, which is, I have 2 offices in Maui before,
mm-hmm.
and he's handling everything in there, which some of them, I didn't even know all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carmelito is the number one. You know, she's the one telling people to say, hey, you know what, you better get your, you know, refund from this person because I can file a class action for you and you can hire Robin Horner.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Horner didn't do anything for all these people, to tell you the truth, because you know why? Some of them, he collected upfront fees doing modification.
And is he a lawyer?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
And he's the one telling people to say, hey, you know what, file a case against Edna and then I can do the audit for you. I didn't know he was doing the audit too with a relative, one of his relatives. So it's just a matter of you know, competitions.
So in talking earlier with you, I learned, or it was shared with me, that you could actually conduct this kind of business, in a sense, and I'll let you give clarity, if you were a nonprofit or if you were an attorney. So what is it that, are you going to become an attorney or are you going to become a nonprofit? And if so, will that allow you, you to do what you were doing?
I should think that I can be a nonprofit. Because my heart is for the people. My heart is for the homeowners. I actually filing my own, you know, I'm still fighting with my own case in the circuit court.
Okay?
On my house.
Your own personal
house. Yes, my own house. And they can check it out in, you know, Uhuiki that I am. They can see how much I fight with it. Mm-hmm. Because I actually filed a lawsuit against them, too. Mm-hmm. I countersued them for $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, you know, they're trying hard to dismiss the case, but I said, you know what? They cannot dismiss this case because it's a lot of fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
And I show it to the judge, and, you know, we have a hearing. Everybody can come if you guys want. I have a hearing on May 27
mm-hmm.
in Hilo, and I'm fighting for my own house.
So it helped me, and I don't want to make any representation here that's not accurate. If it says here the total amount for that one count one, it was $125,133.34. This is what they are saying you should be required to make restitution to these people. But if you're saying that they wrote bad checks,
yes,
how then could they? I'm just asking.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You know, to be honest with you, my agent in Maui, you know, they are the one collecting money
right.
from these people because I'm not from Maui. Mm-hmm. I don't even know all of these people. Okay? They're using my business before
mm-hmm.
in Maui, which is, have you heard about Kuhawai Paaina, which is indicted by the FBI, raided by the FBI? Kuhawai Paaina.
Yeah, while back.
They were investigated by Colette Watanabe. Okay? Colette Watanabe warned me that there's this guy they're investigating for Kuhawai Paaina, which is I didn't know him before. I wasn't even here in Hawaii, 2001 or 2002. So she warned me that, hey, you know what, if you hire this guy, you better watch out because he's under investigation for Kuhawai Paaina, which is I didn't know that this company are telling the people to stop paying their mortgage because this belongs to Hawaii. You know, they were filing all kinds of UCC in illegal UCC in the Bureau of Conveyance. So all of these people got actually scammed by this company, mm-hmm. which is when they found out about us, the CFLA actually Certified Forensic Loan Auditor LLC is established in California doing the audit, which is I got certified from them, and Andrew called me and said Edna is the handling Hawaii, okay. So you have to order an audit from this person.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me, this woman, Carmelita Oy. She said, I need to I'm doing a modification. I need to order an audit from you, and they recommend me to call you. And he said, what are you doing? I'm doing a modification, and then all of this client that I have, they're all denied.
Mm-hmm.
See, of course, they're going to lose their home, right? And I said, I am not an attorney. I'm only doing the audit. You know, I'm a certified doing analysis. We're actually investigating the fraud. You know, all of this mortgage-backed securities fraud. We tried to investigate that, and we found a lot of robo-signing in the assignment of mortgage. So that's the only way that this thing you can use it as a leverage only.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to hire your own attorney.
Yeah. Now this list of people that they have. Did the state rely on statements from the people, or did they actually come into court and give testimony alleging or stating that you had actually, some of the claims that the state is claiming?
Some of the claims are all hearsay.
When you say hearsay.
Hearsay. They were actually, the prosecuting attorney actually telling them that I was doing a modification. I'm not.
Okay.
They were like examining them to tell lies in the court. And they're not giving me a chance to testify a lot of witnesses to testify that I'm not doing modification, that I know that it's illegal to accept upfront fees.
Now, were you able to challenge or cross, depose or anything these people, or question the veracity of their statements as the state was representing? For example, there's a Ruth Diaz, Kim Sarthedo, mm-hmm. Cesar Dule, Carmelita Valdez-Mir. Were you able to, in fact, question them in court?
No, not at all. Never.
Why not?
Because they never give me chance. Carmelita Mayor, the prosecuting attorney actually added these people after the facts, after the, we already went to the hearing. Mm-hmm. He added some more people in there. And I said, how can you added some more people in the complaint? It was in the original complaint. Mm-hmm. He just added some more people in there, which is, for me, it's very, very unfair what they did to me.
So
it's very unfair.
So you're going to try and do an appeal? Is that your redress? How are you going to
redress?
Yes,
I am fighting an appeal, and I'm going to make an affidavit, and I'm going to bring all of this proof that, some of these people are actually issued a bounce check, which is by law, it's a criminal.
They wrote a check that had insufficient
funds.
Checks.
Yes.
Did they... when they wrote it to you for the service, but you say they wrote it to...
to Franchise Services.
Okay.
Okay.
To the office there. Okay.
And the thing is, Carol, I never have any contract with these people because their contract is with my agent before.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't their agent in the first place. And plus, Franchise Services is only a third-party business. Okay. Mm-hmm. CFLA, Certified Forensic Loan Auditor LLC, doing business in California, which is accredited in the Better Business Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually still, performing until now. They still exist since 2009 until now. So if I were scam, they would be scam too, right? Because the audit, it came from them.
The audit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if they use my business as a third party, I wasn't doing the audit. They are.
So the forensic services that you're providing and you were providing, is there any cases specifically where the client of yours received your product and then used that successfully to...
There's a couple of people that...
Save their
has
home?
Yes. There's a couple of people that has been successful.
Uh-huh.
There's a... a lot of people that filed in lawsuit against the bank, or they tried to foreclose on them, and then foreclosure got dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna bring that up in an appeal.
In your appeal,
yes.
When is the appeal? When will you be filing?
I'll file it right next week. I have to tell to the media that my heart belongs to the homeowner. Because mm-hmm. I felt what I, how I feel. When I saw my friend, getting evicted, I have a friend that, she cried out loud right on the Christmas day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pouring and raining in there. And then all of these beddings and the television are all get wet because the ship came to her house. That's the time I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot forget that. And I said, someday the people gonna realize how much damages that they created, the lenders created to these homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the beginning, these lenders actually approved the loan, even though if they're not supposed to approve the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're only working in the hotel, and they're giving them a loan for like $3,000 that they cannot even afford. So, which is right in here? Giving you a loan that you cannot even afford, and you give, you know, it's their fault, you know, it's the lender's fault for approving the loan that the homeowner cannot afford in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And this, and then they were selling this mortgage to the investor from one place to another, and turn your mortgage into stock market without your knowledge. It's all illegal.
So, do you believe that the Office of Consumer Affairs and Attorney General should be aggressively pursuing the banks as well?
They already
the
did. They
but,
already
pursued. But they, but it was settlement of sorts.
They settled, but where is the money? The $71 million went to where?
So I recently learned, were informed that a bank. Lawyers can now rely on an affidavit by the bank that all documents are legal or verified that they exist, but they could be bogus. And so the company or whomever can use it, the bank
okay.
can rely on it.
I actually, Carol, I wanted to tell this to the media. That I'm hoping that someday these judges can see it for themselves, that they actually defrauded a lot of homeowners. The original lenders are actually the one that from the beginning to the end, these banks are actually committed crime to the homeowners, which is why jeopardize me, which I'm only a regular person that doing small businesses, you know, and jeopardize my life with my own six children that I supported. You know, and I file my tax with $42,000 a year. That's not scam. If I am scam, I would be a millionaire right now.
So, speaking of the media, they ask you many questions, and they were, some of them say you didn't get back to them. And what? Is there any specific questions that they ask you would care to answer now?
Well,
in response to their statements or their questions?
Well, you know, I told to the Office of Consumer Protection that, you know, the Mortgage Fraud Prevention Act is not protecting the homeowners. For stopping the foreclosure is illegal? Come on! You guys gonna have to do something with it. The lenders are the one committing crime. From the beginning to the end, when you approve the loan, whether you're not qualified for a loan, some of them they faked their documents, you know, just to approve the loan, which is some brokers already got indicted for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like Esther Miguel, right? If, for example, Esther Miguel, United States versus Miguel. Mm-hmm. She got indicted for 5 years. She's in prison right now for committing fraud, for approving the loan to the homeowner, you know, and they're not supposed to qualify for a loan. Mm-hmm. Which is, we found that out in the analysis that, you know, the banks are actually liable for it too because, you know, they're not following the underwriters. Mm-hmm. Any banks supposed to follow through with the underwritings to approve the loan before you can qualify for a loan. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if you look at their mortgages, Some of the are inflated.
You know, in this service that you're providing, the forensic, as I quote you, the forensic aspect of it, what specific documents would you normally, you, in your effort, what documents would you be gathering and then submitting? You would what?
The assignment.
Would you give that to the homeowner or will you give that to an
attorney?
Representing the homeowner.
Some of the homeowner, they have an attorney, so I have to email it to the attorney. Mm-hmm. Some of them are pro se litigant, and they're fighting for their own because they cannot afford an attorney, mm-hmm. which is, it's not me.
But what specific documents would you be gathering in this forensic analysis?
I gather all the mortgage documents, okay. The promissory note, the assignment of mortgage, mm-hmm. and, you know, I examine all of this. Stuff, whether there is a fraudulent or not in
and
that
where
document.
Where would you obtain these documents from in this process that you're, the service that you're giving?
Well, I have to whether the attorney will send me the copy, mm-hmm. or some of the homeowners, they don't have an attorney, they have to send it to me. because, you know, how can I examine without the document?
Do you do bureau conveyances, or what offices do you...
Some of them, they don't have any documents, so we have to pull it out in a bureau conveyance, mm-hmm. you know. But some of them, it's not in the public record, which is so hard for them to pull it out. That's why we have access code to, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of connection that I have to pay doing the research.
And where would one of these places be that you actually gather that document, grab that document? You know, what specific office? We know bureau conveyances. To make sure that this document is valid.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is CFLA, actually, they have a lot of connections mm-hmm. to pull out the record. So CFLA actually are the one pulling out the record for me. And then, you know, I can see it for myself that they are actually pulling out accurately. Because when you use the court, the attorney are actually fighting back. And some of them, there is a result, you know. The attorney actually got their loan got modified, and the judge ordered them to modify the loan, for what I can see, from the attorney now, not mm-hmm. from me.
How does the banks receive these, or the opposing attorney on the other side, representing the bank or the mortgage company, how are these documents that you... Do they receive these documents well, or do they object, or do they...
Well, some of the attorneys and judges, they don't understand about the mortgage-backed securities fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have a couple of people here with me that they are actually certified too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came from the same place that I went through,
mm-hmm.
which I graduated from that, you know, which is expensive to go to school. Because some of my classmates are attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
They're not regulars,
right.
You know. And it's hard to understand. It is. I was having a hard time, you know, passing the test, the exam. It's just like a bar exam, you know.
I got a phone call with me. You want to take a phone call?
Yes.
Caller, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. You have a question or comment?
Hi, Carol. I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago, and I don't know who your guest is, but I just want to say that it's just as much the homeowner's fault as it is the people approving these loans. That person who signed up for a loan signs the document to make it a legal document. If that person is signing the loan, then they must understand the terms of the loan that they're signing. You can't just blame it all on the mortgage company
mm-hmm.
because the homeowner has a certain responsibility also.
Right. Well, thank you.
I'll listen off the air. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining. Thank you.
If you
got Courtney here this morning. He's come in. How are you, Courtney?
I'm doing great this morning.
All right.
This is an interesting show you have. Let me respond to your caller. All right.
Okay.
That she says that the homeowner is absolutely the same, has the same responsibility as the people giving the loans. I would disagree with her. For that matter, a lot of those loans were done, the figures were changed and such after the homeowner signed them. A lot of those mortgage brokers forged signatures on papers that went forward. Homeowners were given loans that they could never qualify for. I have a lady that we're helping right now with her particular home. She was a worker at Taco Bell, a single lady at Taco Bell with a Taco Bell salary. They qualified her for a $500,000 loan. Now, you can't tell me that that's a correct loan, because a salary at Taco Bell does not qualify you to make the payments on a $500,000 loan. The lenders during the period of 2000 to 2008, particularly 2005, 6, 7, and 8, or 5, 6, 7 anyway, were making so much money. And we're talking about not the local banks now. We're talking about the mainland lenders.
Mm-hmm.
They made hundreds of billions of dollars in profit during this period of time. And they were forcing people to get loans as much as they could. If I had a dog, I probably could have given my dog three names and qualified them for a loan, because they would just fill out the paperwork and, hey, sign here. Most of the homeowners who went in and signed were so excited about they were going to be able to finally get a house that they weren't really paying attention to the terms or the notes or whether they could really make the payment, because the mortgage broker said, look, you're going to get X number of dollars out of this. set that aside, make the payments for 6 months, and in 6 months we'll refinance it and you'll get some more money. So there was a lot of that that went on. So while some people certainly have some responsibility for what they're doing, and the homeowner should have had responsibility to read the documents, but they present them with a whole slew of maybe 80 pages worth of documents with little stickers that say sign here, and they just go through and sign those. They don't give them time to do that. They change the terms on them from what they said. I have a number of people that have come in to see me who said they were going in to sign a loan and the rate was supposed to be 5 point something or 6%, and when they got there it was another point higher. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of stuff that was going on during that period of time, and it was fueled because of what the mainland lenders were doing with these mortgage-backed securitized trusts. They're put together by the mainland banks and the guys on Wall Street in order to make a lot of money, and they made a lot of money.
You know, I'm interested in this, and I don't want to give the impression that I'm advocating for Edna. She don't need anybody advocating. She can stand on her own 2 feet in that issue. But the responsibility and the punishment, her, what they are doing to her is seems to be severe when it comes to others involved in this whole scheme. We don't hear about them. We don't see the aggressive pursuit of them, the banks, the mortgage companies. Maybe I'm missing something or I don't read the paper daily. But it jumps out at me as saying something's still wrong with this, and we'll talk about it later on, Act 26, in hot pursuit of her. And clearly, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're violating the law, you're violating the law. But there were others, and we don't see that aggressive process being people subjected to that as Edna has. Or am I wrong? Is there other people that have receive such scrutiny?
Well, there are people that have received scrutiny along the way and have done things that they were able to be convicted for. So there's some of those people that have been convicted along the way. Some of these mortgage brokers who were doing this have been convicted.
Locally here.
Locally. We've had two or three of those happen. They were doing this falsifying of loan things and scams and different kinds along that way. You mentioned that it didn't seem that the banks had been pursued. You talked about a $25 billion settlement. But if you total up all the settlements that happened over the last year and a half, they're going to come close to $100 billion.
But how much does the mortgage companies or the banks make?
Well, they made hundreds of billions
right.
of dollars.
Right. So, I mean, it's like chump change, you know. Let's be, you pay to play, you
know. They have lots of expensive lawyers in order to fight these things out. And they have a system where they've already been paid. A lot of these loans have been at least partially paid, and a pretend lender, whether that's Bank of America or Wells Fargo or Chase or some of the others along the way, are coming in and foreclosing on them, where they really don't have the right to foreclose. They forge and falsify the documents that they submit in court. Right? Now you say, well, Brown, you got to be careful about what you're saying here. But I can show that. I am a certified securitized forensic auditor of mortgage loans. I can go back and look at these things. I can go on Bloomberg or on ABS anyway and see what really happened with these loans. We pull those documents. So we know that an awful lot of these cases, they send in things that are not correct. We have affidavits from Bank of America that says they own a loan, and Freddie Mac, on their website says they've owned that loan since 2006 or 7 or something. But Bank of America has sent in documents that we think are false that says that they have the note and they own the loan. Now, they both can't own it because we're talking about who has the note and who owns the loan. So we see a lot of that.
Well, I didn't formally introduce you. You're Courtney Brown, and you're with what organization, and also, we're not. I want to make it clear. He is not. Courtney is not here representing Edna. This is a relationship that I invited Edna because I just thought that it would be worthwhile giving her an opportunity to address some of the questions, and then Courtney, and then I also have Attorney Melody Aduha here with me.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. There's a lot of a lot of craziness with this mortgage stuff. I got one question. So some were criminally prosecuted. I noticed that in Edna's case, there was no criminal prosecution, but a civil addressment. Why, if it was that egregious, or are they talking about criminal charges?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is just, it just jumps out at me. Well, I mean, it's a reality. If you, some are being prosecuted, and then this one is being civilly. Have they said anything to you about any?
No.
Any allegations? So I was just curious, in reading the document.
It's a civil matter.
It's a civil matter, but are they... is it one hammer fallen and the next is now about to fall, or was it to flesh out and get statements from her and then in turn seek prosecution criminally? But I'm just curious.
No.
I mean, you wouldn't know anyway. You're not representing her. I'm sure you would have been communicated. But what about you, Edna? Have they said anything? I'm just curious if
not to my knowledge, Carol, and I'm innocent for this.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows I'm innocent. Anybody. My kids actually came to my mom. I saw your name in the news. Oh, my teacher's telling, is this your mom? Oh, my God, you have a picture in the news. And I said, oh, my God, all my kids are crying, coming from home. And my friends calling me almost one day, every minute my phone rings. All my friends, that, you know, concerned about me and they love me. And they say, Edna, I pray for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of business anyway. It's just, you know what? Business is business.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Courtney Brown is with the Hawaii Homeowner Solutions, Inc., and you can reach him at 537-4111. And Melodia Duha is attorney, and she can be reached at, what is your number?
My number, I can be reached via text as well as voice, and my number is
208-258-8889. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, what we're going to do, we're coming down to the last minute of this hour. This is a Carol Cox Show, and I didn't tell you. You can pick it up at KWAI 1080 AM, and you can listen to us there on the stream, a live stream, or podcast later on if you missed some of the show. But I'm going to take this call, and let's see what the caller... Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question for the group? I guess they didn't want to talk. You're not a venturist. but making it clear, you're not here representing Edna, but what's your take on... There's many of things that I had asked you to try and talk to me about or share with me and some of the listeners. Is the foreclosure debacle over? Is everyone now happy and there's nobody out there needing to save their... I don't hear much talk of it.
Oh, boy, Carol. We have just begun. I think we have just scraped, the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't made that break yet. I currently have a client in which the certified forensic loan analysis came back showing that the note has been covered by insurance.
Okay, the note has been covered by insurance. In
okay.
this particular case that I'm currently handling.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's been covered, and yet my clients were still subjected to foreclosure to the extent that they were evicted over and above a bankruptcy filing. So in violation of the protection offered by the U.S. Code under Chapter 13 filing, the bank still went ahead and foreclosed on a note that has been fully paid by insurance. Now, trying to convey that message to our civil judicial system is very difficult. It's an upward battle, in which case it should not be, in my opinion, because it's already been paid. And even if there is some equities, which I'm not sure what the equities may be on the part of the bank, that the bank should prevail in this matter, then they should have at least ceased and desist any type of foreclosure eviction until it can be ironed out through the justice system. But apparently that was not the case. So we are trying to undo a egregious error made by this particular bank. But you see, my clients are now displaced, homeless, for well over a month until we can get a hearing. So all of this, it causes emotional distress. It causes pain and suffering. We've got children involved. We've got schoolwork. We've got all kinds of necessities in life, which has been robbed, basically, since it was done under the color of law by sheriffs, that they have to be evicted from their primary residence when the bank has already been fully compensated on this note. Now you tell me, where is the justice? Where is the equities? Where is it that the homeowners are protected under the law, whether it's by congressional act, whether it's by presidential mandate, whether it's by statute, by constitution, state and federal? I don't know. We still have to find that in. And the problem is, once that, in my opinion, once that door is open, once that window is finally open and the homeowners will get justice, that would cause such a worldwide impact that I believe that our economy is threatened, and that is why we are at this state state of affairs right now.
I'm sitting here feeling rather uncomfortable because I know the small mind of the town. You being an attorney, the judicial system don't listen well, and you might say something and then here they blame you for just simply talking. But we're going to take it up some more in the next hour, and we're talking foreclosure, mortgage, and my guest is Courtney Brown, attorney Melody Aduha, and Edna Franco. And we're going to toss this around some more and get into what Edna, the service she's providing. We're going to ask the attorneys, the attorney and also Courtney, is there a real benefit to this? And if so, is there possibly a need to beat it back down because the banks might be threatened or feel threatened? We'll talk about that in the next hour. Thank you. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Could you put your back down now? It is hot in this stuff. Where's all the homeless people at? Where they at? Say it loud. Expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, welcome back to the second half of the Carol Cox Show, and I just got to tell you, normally I wouldn't play that as an opening song, but when you get hit upside the head, there's just no, you just don't know what you're going to do, you know. So those of you out there, there's a lot more of that to should be expected, you know, after a while. People try to beat a sense into your head, you know, so But anyway, all joking aside, I'm doing fine, guys, and the reason I'm doing fine is your support, and it confirms that what I'm doing out there, though it's self-appointed, self-anointed, I do look at the end of the day that we're all going to benefit from it. And yeah, I know it's me throwing one little rock into this humongous ocean with one little ripple. And I recognize that, and I know the magnitude of my impact. And one day, as I'm flying over, looking down on all of you, headed to who knows where, I don't know, you know, and I'll look back and think, well, that's what I did. And then I'll go, gee, what did the others do? So anyway, again, we're talking foreclosures, and I have Aetna Franco here with me, and then Attorney Melody Aduha, and Mr. Courtney Brown, and we're talking foreclosures, mortgage, and the plight. Apparently, the whole thing is it's all been fixed. The way you don't see much of it in the news, and I don't see the coverage there. So I just thought I would lend this time to that, and especially with Edna's new development, and the final judgment and permanent injunction was issued by the state courts, or the courts, and substantial penalties, and close to $1 million or $1 million plus. And Edna is here fielding some of the questions. Feel free to call in 524-1080. You can also pick us up at carol@carolcox.com in the podcast, or KWAI 1080 AM, and listen to us live on the internet. Thank you guys for coming back and putting up with me. Melody, I want to make sure that it's clear that you're not here representing Edna, and Courtney, you're not representing it. Edna's here on her own. She can stand up strong. And
I had met Edna for the first time last night.
So anyway, Edna, you have anything you want to say?
Yes, Carol, but I will let Melody Adua talk, because I think she did a good job defending the homeowners. Yeah. I truly recommend her, you know, as an attorney for foreclosure defense, because she has a lot of knowledge right now, you know, defending these foreclosure issues.
And thank you very much, Edna.
But not of your clients, are you saying? You
no,
okay.
No.
Okay. But go ahead, Melody, if you would.
Yeah, it's just an uphill battle, as I had indicated in the last hour, especially under the elements in which the banks have to prove on a motion for summary judgment, if I can, I guess, describe it on a litigation standpoint. My background is more prosecutorial. I've been with the prosecutor's office for 3.5 years early on after law school. So I am a litigator. And however, in this particular case, rather than taking the case to trial where you have full-on evidentiary hearings, most of these cases, if not 99% of these cases, are ruled upon at the summary judgment phase. And at the summary judgment phase, it is not an evidentiary hearing. And what the bank is required to prove under Bank of Honolulu are 4 elements. And those 4 elements are whether there's been a note, whether the terms of the note has been described, whether there has been a default to the note, and whether that default has been noticed and has not been cured. Nowhere in those 4 elements do they... Is there an opportunity to contest the validity of the note, the mortgage, and the assignment of mortgage? And that is where it's difficult from a foreclosure defense attorney standpoint, when you don't have a full evidentiary hearing to show what we're saying is that the assignment of mortgages are full of forgeries and fraud, and areas in which have been addressed. That's the important things. They have previously been addressed in the national mortgage settlement. All of these things that I'm talking about is not anything new. That is what resulted in the $25 billion national settlement against Ally GMAC J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and others. However, when it comes to the individual homeowners pursuing the exact same causes of action and fraudulent and deceptive practices, we are at a roadblock in our system because the evidence that we plan to show or intend to show, which in my case, I do rely on the certified forensic loan analysis, which I know many attorneys in town do not, which is fine. If they can go ahead and do the research on their own, that is excellent, because none of this that is put together in a summarized form by these analysts, such are the ones here with me today, Courtney Brown and Angelita Pichon, as well as Edna Franco. I mean, the materials are out there. The information is out there. It's putting it together so that it can be conveyed to the court, to the homeowner, to the banks, that the T's have not been crossed, the dots have not been dotted, or the I's have not been dotted. That is why I personally use these analysis, because I'm not going to be the one that is the expert witness that's going to take the stand and indicate, okay, this is not proper, it's not properly signed, it's not properly authenticated, it's not properly notarized, and showing proof that that is the case. And that is where I have difficulty, and that's where my cases go up on appeal. So it's an uphill battle. That's all I can say, but that's what needs to be done. Thank you.
Caller, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Any comment or question? Hello.
Oh, hi. I just want to continue hearing the interview.
Okay.
Yeah.
Caller, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show.
Hi. I just want to listen to the Franco's interview.
You don't have internet or anything, radio?
No, I'm at the mall right now.
Okay. We tie up the line. All right, we'll try, and if the lines get blocked, we'll have to let you go, okay? Well, hold
okay.
on. Okay. Let me just go back to why I'm so interested in this. I look at Edna's case, and I'm trusting that the courts are legitimate about their approach and that this isn't a stacked deck of cards in this process. Those that do wrong should be prosecuted. I'm not going to defend her on that. But something's not right here. I'm looking at a document you shared me. This is the case 112 CV00361 RMC, the document or the settlement, the national settlement.
Yes, I believe you're looking at the consent judgment that was entered into with the Bank of America.
And I just have to read this, because when I see one individual, guilty or innocent, but when I see this kind of aggressive nature on part of courts or any, I have to ask, what happened to the big guys? And so here's what some of the things. The bank's failure, number 64, the bank's failure to follow appropriate foreclosure procedures and related unfair, deceptive practice include but are not limited to the following: failing to properly identify the foreclosing party, charging improper fees related to foreclosures, preparing, executing, notarizing, or presenting false and misleading documents, filing false and misleading documents with courts and government agencies, or otherwise using false or misleading documents as part of the foreclosure process, including but not limited to affidavits, declarations, certifications, substitutions of trustees, and assignments. D, preparing, executing, and filing affidavits in foreclosure proceedings without personal knowledge of the assertion in the affidavits and without review of any information or documentation to verify the assertions in such affidavits. And then this practice of repeated false attestation of information in affidavits is popularly known as robo-signing, end quote, where third parties engage in robo-signing on behalf of the banks. They did this so with the knowledge and approval of the banks. So I know it was a $25 billion settlement, but we should be reading and wondering how those guys that ran the banks, how they're doing, how are they faring in prison?
Why they're not.
why you know, or reading that one of them decided to hang himself with his hanky or in prison. We don't have any of that, but we have a settlement, and they made hundreds of billions, and they paid $25 billion. And then probably wrote it off in taxes, saying it was attorney fees and legal fees. So I don't know. I'm just taking a guess at it.
Yeah, that's correct, Carol. There has been, to my knowledge anyway, no criminal prosecution of these presidents of the banks or mm-hmm. whoever would be the ones that are responsible for all of this. From what I gather, this was a scheme that was in works for a long time. I myself have a legal master's degree, which is called an LLM, which is in federal taxation. So we learned, well, or I learned anyway, during this program about REMIX and REITs, and which are vehicles in which companies such as Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, who started it, actually can securitize mortgages and sell these securitized mortgages on Wall Street. And the bigger banks decided to follow suit because there are tax advantages of these trusts. And the tax advantage would be that once you get a distribution from your investment, then that first distribution, which remains in the trust, is not taxed to the certificate holders, but is rather just taxed on the second distribution when it is distributed to the holders themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any violation to the terms of this trust, which is contained in the pooling and servicing agreement, would make this tax-exempt vehicle, this trust, lose its status as being tax-exempt at the first level.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing, though, in these cases is that the assignment of mortgages are being placed into the trust after the closing of the dates in which the trust itself can gain the assets, which would be the mortgage and the note itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see how complicated this is, and that's why it was built, it was designed that way to be complicated so that the layperson would not be able to follow this. I mean, it is rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, to the comment that was brought about earlier, you got to put some blame on the homeowner. Well, that's the same comment that I would make if I were addressing the jury and saying, well, members of the jury, this is like a drug transaction. You've got the allure of the drug dealer trying to fetch a buyer so that the buyer will become hooked. And that's exactly what has happened here, but it's a legalized type of scam.
But in many of these instances, the homeowner was duped into buying, knowing that, as you say, the Taco Bell instance, and then later on he or she finds himself losing that home, and then they then are presented with more trouble.
Yes.
And so, but one of the things I want to do, because there's this forensic, we talk about forensic audit.
Yes.
You as
analysis.
An attorney,
yes.
Analysis, you're finding that this is helpful. And Courtney, you are also an analyst, right, or a forensic analyst for this?
I am a securitized forensic loan auditor. Yes.
Okay. So here's my big question. Does the banks and the courts feel that this is going to undermine? Because as I read here, the banks actually submitted documents that were not valid, right?
That's correct.
And so, failing to properly identify the foreclosure, preparing, executing, notarizing, and presenting false and misleading documents. So, if we know that that was part of the lawsuit, why wouldn't the courts be receptive or be more or entertain more the forensic audit, forensic analysis, and start reviewing that and incorporating that into this thing about foreclosure?
So you want me to speak toward judges so you don't have to?
Yeah, because they...
Since you're the attorney?
Next time she walks in, they throw out on her nose. You were on the Carol Cox show saying that nasty things about the judicial system.
Well, I can just say from experience from the trial court level versus the appellate court level that what type of feedback I am receiving in my cases is that it has not, these analyses have not been recognized from the appellate court level. So that is where we're at. We need to take it to the next level and appeal the trial court and to see whether the appellate court will recognize these analyses. Like I mentioned earlier, though, this information is not something that is made up. It is out there. It is all documented. The analysis who does this for me as my expert witness gathers the information, puts it in a summarized version, affixes it as an affidavit in which I submit her or his analysis under sworn testimony, under oath, with all of the corroborating exhibits. So it's a thick pile that I'm submitting to the court. Mm-hmm. And I know the courts are looking at it and saying that's too much to read, because it is. For everyone, it is. I mean, the pooling and service agreement, if that goes in, that's at least several hundred pages alone. I try not to put that in.
But the opposing, I'll use the term opposing, the other side has a right to challenge those documents, right?
Sure, we have an evidentiary hearing.
Right. So, I mean, what are they afraid of? But now, before you go on, Courtney, you shared last night we were talking. You mentioned that the banks now can just take an affidavit and go forward based on. Can you explain that? Maybe I got it wrong.
Nothing that we do here is a magic bullet.
Right.
Okay, we do these analyses, and we hope that we have some things in there that are going to help us prevail along the way. But so far, we have not found any magic bullet to keep people in their homes and to say, hey, the banks did these bad things. Part of the problem has to do is, if you want to go back to before 2001, or before 2000, when people were being foreclosed on their homes, they were behind on their payments, they had signed the note, they pretty well knew what they were doing, and the lender had a right to come in and foreclose on the home because mm-hmm. the people defaulted on their payments. Well, this is the same mindset that our judges are still in. They're in this mindset, well, somebody signed this note, and they're not making their payments, and so whoever it is, this lender or some lender, has the right to come in and foreclose. That's what their mindset is. We're trying to change that mindset, partially with the stuff that Melanie is doing with these forensic audits along the way and in some other cases, hoping to make some headway in there to change the judge's mind that this is the 2000s. This is not back before then.
Mm-hmm.
And life is different now. A lot of people, I mentioned that earlier, said some unkind things about mortgage brokers along the way. The mortgage brokers were doing this because they were paid so much money by the lenders on the mainland in order to put the loans out.
Mm.
You know, they made lots and lots of money, and the lenders were calling up and asking them, can we wear some more of these? For that matter, there's evidence starting to come out now that when people filled out their 1003, which is the normal application, before the loan was ever granted, that they were shopping that among different, we'll just call them lenders, on the mainland about who was going to give them the best deal for buying that loan. So this is not the way we think mortgages get done. This is not the way the local banks were doing it. But it was a complete upside-down system because there was so much money being made by everybody along the way that I can understand why they got greedy and why they just pushed things through. We can send them whatever paper they want, and they're going to pay us this much money for it. Well, let's put that in our pocket. So there was a lot of that that went on. Our judges have not gotten there yet. They don't understand the degree of fraud that went on during that period of time in terms of most of these loans that were done And remember, I'm excluding the local banks. I'm talking about the ones that were sold to securitized trusts. So it's a very uphill battle for attorneys to fight this because the judges are not sympathetic to that. So they seldom get past the summary judgment motion because the judge goes back to those same things, the four things that she read. And I think, I was going to ask you this off the air, but I'll ask on the air. Maybe we should start submitting with our documents, asking the judge to take judicial notice that that case right there is not sufficient for deciding what's happening with the mortgage foreclosures in today's market.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a case called Bank of Honolulu. Again, it's a local case, and it was ruled in 1982, I believe, in the early 80s, when none of this issues regarding fraud and misrepresentation and lack of standing was at issue. And yet our courts are still relying on this 40-year-old case. Under current circumstances that has happened in with the turn of the century in the year 2000 on.
So, again, I don't know if I got the... A bank now, an attorney can rely on the bank's documents that they submit, and then there's an affidavit. They don't really have... They can then say, relied on the, what, the mortgage company or the bank. Can you explain
that? What you're referring to is a few years ago, the legislature passed a new Mortgage Foreclosure Act.
Our state did, right? Hawaii.
Yes, and part of that was that attorneys had to certify the documents that they were submitting that those were correct.
Right.
That stopped foreclosures for about 6 months because the attorneys couldn't figure out how to get around that, what they were doing. And they finally decided that, well, we'll get an affidavit from the lender saying that the documents are correct, and then we will file our affidavit on the basis of what the lender tells us. Well, that there are some attorneys who quit doing mortgage foreclosures back when this law got passed because they weren't about to
screw the public.
Well, no, they weren't about to sign their name
sorry,
to something that was fraudulent.
I have such a way with words.
That's okay. All right, we're talking about the foreclosure mills, of which we've got 5 or 6 or 7 attorney foreclosure mill firms here in town, and that's right. What they do is they just run through foreclosures, and most of them are successful. We get about 300 foreclosures filed a month now. It's gone down to about that number, but only a couple handfuls of those ever get disputed. The rest of them just go through. So whether you actually have title to the home or not, whether you own the note, if you're the lender foreclosing, you end up with that house and you get to sell it. And what you make out of it is a new profit because you didn't pay for it.
So as long as the lender submits a document and signs an affidavit that it's true, the lawyers can rely on that, but the courts won't rely on a forensic analysis. Or they will eventually after you keep showing up 1,000 times.
There are some of those dichotomies in this situation, yes.
Yeah. See, I have a real difficulty with that because what I have in my case is where the bank's attorneys will come in and they will, under the business records exception to the hearsay rule, submit to the court certified copies by our State Bureau of Conveyances that they are claiming would authenticate that the mortgage document as well as the assignment of mortgage is true and correct. The problem is the issue is not what has been filed with the Bureau of Conveyances as being true and correct, because you can virtually file anything there. That's just a recordation system to give notice to the public. What we need as defense counsels for these homeowners is that the bank that is actually given the notice of default and filed the complaint was in possession of the note, the mortgage, and the assignment of mortgage at the time of the filing. And that has nothing to do with when it was ever recorded at the Bureau of Conveyances.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. Any comment or question?
Yes, I have a question. Aloha, Carol.
Yes.
The question, I'm not familiar with the term securitized, mortgage, what do you call it, auditor. Or whatever the
Courtney, you want to answer that? Go ahead with your question.
Before answering, the question is it a licensed position in Hawaii? a licensed professional, and has a court considered that profession falling within the category of an expert witness?
Were you at our meeting last night? I was hinting around the same question. So thank you.
The answer to this question is probably no in all cases. Okay, we have certificates because of classes and such that we've taken. Some of us have taken more than one along the way to do this. Actually, you have to take at least two for CFLA, and then some of us have taken others as well. But it's not licensed by the state.
Okay.
Okay, and we're making some headway with the courts. I got one opinion that was against the client that I was helping there, but the judge noted in there that he was very impressed by the securitized audit.
Normally, the judge's standard to determine whether or not to allow the witness to be considered an expert witness, which I assume is a direction that attorneys would attempt to submit your testimony as, do you feel that it meets the standard of expert witness according to the rules of evidence?
Most of the securitized audits that Melody is submitting and that I'm using in some other cases along the way are all done by people who have been determined to be expert witness in other courts. Not in Hawaii. This is generally California courts because they do a lot more for people there. But they already have been affirmed as expert witnesses in those courts. One of these days we're going to have them over here and try and get them affirmed here in our courts here as well.
Any of these people who are so called experts in that area, auditors or certified public accountants?
I'd have to go back and look at where they went to school in that part. In one case, one of them does have an extensive accounting background, and they worked, I just can't remember, but he did have an extensive accounting background, and I don't know whether he's a CPA or not. All right, I don't think so.
I would imagine that opposing counsel would raise those objections simply in terms of the rules of evidence. And is that what you folks are finding during the trials?
Well, Melody's going to address this one for us, but we haven't gotten to trials yet. We're still working on getting past the summary judgment motion to show that there's enough question about what's going on so that the judge will go ahead and get to the trial. Melody?
Yeah, that's correct. Plans are in the works to bring the analyst here so that he or she will be certified as an expert witness. The ones that I use have been, as Mr. Brown has indicated, certified as expert witnesses on the mainland, either in California or in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I particularly would like to bring here has taught these courses for many years, as well as, which I think is much more significant, has worked for one of the major banks and has and is a actual witness to the type of fraudulent documentation that we are referring to.
Would it be the integrity of the document or the expertise of the individual that has come into question here? You're looking at a document. Does it matter?
Probably both.
Yeah, it's both.
Let's just say Carol Cox go and find a document and you see as an attorney believe it. Do I have to prove that I'm an expert to have found a document that disputes what I have to be an expert?
Yes.
For the document to be used?
Well, you can file an affidavit.
I mean, you can file
an affidavit saying whatever you want to say in the affidavit.
And I present that document, and it's up to the attorney to use it.
We're asking the court to accept the document as valid along
that,
the way.
I understand that, but it's...
You need somebody who knows what they're doing and who has an expert.
My point is, my question, I guess, does it matter what my expertise is about finding a document, as long as I have a document, and is that document disputed, the authenticity of it?
The expertise of the person who prepared the document would matter.
Well, I'm just finding documents. I'm not preparing them. I'm retrieving them.
Oh, well, then the documents speak for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so you would not need an expert.
That's what I'm asking, see, because yeah. it's as if when in fact, if you read the rules, Act 26, maybe you can speak to that. I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but something to do with if you're a nonprofit, you can do these things, and if you are a lawyer, you can. So is the courts just short when they can then create a rule or circumstances that are qualifications and validate these people, and you get the qualification, then you become acknowledged by the courts?
I think it's Act 48 that we're really talking
Act 48.
About here.
Okay.
That defines what do we call people who help people in foreclosures. What's the name?
Act 26.
What?
26.
Mortgage Fraud Prevention.
Mortgage Fraud Prevention Act. Okay. Is that the latest one?
I think so.
Okay. A person who acts as a mortgage fraud prevention, person, whatever the term is in there, all right, those people are prohibited from collecting funds up front for doing their work, right? There are certain exclusions in there, and you really need to go to the law to read it because it'll have the exclusions, but part of the exclusions in there have to do with certain government agencies, with nonprofit companies, with attorneys, and there are probably a couple of others in that act that are excluded from doing that. So those entities, and we have a number of nonprofits here that are providing primarily loan services or loan negotiation services with lenders, okay? We call them modifying the loan. And what they're really talking about doing is we're modifying the terms of the note to make it so that the people can then go forward and make their payments and a term that will work for them. A lot of loans were written when people were taking in a lot of money or other things along the way, and they're not in a position to do that. Or people got sick or lost a job or some other things came along, and they need to modify that note so that they can get the payment to where they can now make it. And they need to take care of the arrears that wasn't paid during some period of time. So there are some exceptions in that act for people to be able to collect money up front for doing those kind of services.
Now,
that's different than the services that we've mostly been talking about here, which is the forensic audits.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just speaking one simple aspect. A document submitted to the courts, that document stands on its own, and if it's allowed to be challenged by the other side, the opposing team, and that's all I'm speaking to. And it seems that what I'm hearing is that it really isn't a fix, it's an evolution. The new Rule 26 was done really not to address the foreclosure, the desperate needs of the individuals foreclosing. It seems like it was done for political reasons when I look at it, because if there are some people can't afford to pay, so they're automatically going to sink the clients. So if the courts were open to people defending themselves, they would do better. And if Edna is required to have a certain license and a certain aptitude and display that, then they should do that rather than dismissing the whole thing, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Yes.
Carol, if I may, normally if a document is signed, a document is a document. If the document is a summarization or it's a written statement by someone else looking at other documents and making conclusions,
right,
then at that point in time, those documents are not merely evidentiary of the events that occurred, but it is a statement of one person who may or may not consider himself an expert. As to that document, the judge would have some concerns about allowing it to be introduced. And
exactly.
If there's an objection, they would demand the person who wrote it up to come in and be cross-examined, Joe.
Yeah. And each one of the situations should be judged on its own, rather than just a blanket saying, we don't want this kind of activity. I'm just suspect of the process because there are people who can't afford it. And how do you, if you can't charge up front, who's going to foot the bill to go do the basic research?
I think in that case, what the legislature is saying, I imagine this to be the rationalization. One, they cannot limit the right of free expression. However, they can limit the practice of a profession or of a business in the state of Hawaii. So what they are saying is that you cannot charge for this practice if you don't fall within these categories, but you can go ahead and express yourself freely.
But you can modify those categories. See, this is what I'm saying is that we're citing rules that really don't support and afford everybody an opportunity. We know it's broken. There are people that are losing the house because they can't even afford a phone call. So if we know that, and on the downstream end, the people that are victimized or find themselves in these predicaments, we're mulling over, well, as a nonprofit you can, as a lawyer you can. You ever try to talk to a lawyer or a nonprofit? Who's going to foot the bill for you? So something needs to be changed, in my opinion, what I'm learning. I'm not an expert at this, but...
Well, thank you, Carol, for taking my call, and thank you for your best for bringing this important message to the people.
Thank you for joining us, Aloha.
Yes, Aloha.
That's an important point. We might have been able to resolve a lot of what's gone on in the last few years if the legislature, instead of passing a bill that says, hey, people can't collect money up front for doing some of these things, if they'd gone ahead to go to some kind of licensing situation. So we had licensed people that were qualified to be able to help people.
Right. But I have no problem with it either way, but apparently some people will fall through the cracks because they can't afford the attorney. And a nonprofit can't afford to go out there and rescue everybody because they're a nonprofit. So that alone suggests to me that we really, the legislators, and we know how they can be bought and sold and given away for nothing, and, you know, let's just face it. So I'm not putting all my trust in that when we say the legislator did this, because do we know how many visits they received from the lenders? Do we know how much donations they received from the lenders? But the reality is, forget all of that, we still know that there are people that are dropping off the radar because they can't afford any of the process. That's what I'm speaking to. I don't really care about the politics of it. If there's a reality of people losing their homes when there were fraud, as these documents show, because they may have settled, but they didn't really clean up the mess. If the impact is still there, right? So they gave $25 billion. But how did it address each individual problem to go back and address the problems that had existed?
Caller, go ahead. Comment or question?
Oh, yes. I got a question, please.
Go ahead.
A comment. You know this MERS dump where they record all your mortgages and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard of... Somehow it was... I heard about this program, the Hagman and Hagman Report.
I'm going to defer to Larry, I know nothing. Go ahead. Can you explain that?
Well, based on the information you gave, there's this individual, Greg Morris, and his website is SaveOurFamilyAndHome.com. And he has all the information down, and he realized that an individual cannot take on the bankers. It's what it's based on is that everybody's mortgages have been bought up by the Chinese. And you can go online and check it out at SaveOurFamilies.com. Greg Morris. In fact, he has done a lot of research. In fact, he sued the banks and all that. He has all this documentation, the proof and all that. But somehow, the court system is such where even his friends who are judges somehow, you know, they call up their loans and they have problems themselves. So apparently, since collectively, the people in America got to get together. Because if everybody singly go against them, it's probably going to shut you down. So as a group, so this information is on SaveAllFamiliesAndHome.com, or you can go to the interview, which was on the 516th. That's a Friday on the Hagman and Hagman Report, a three-hour interview with Greg Morris. So he wanted to expose all this to everybody. He has over 11,000 documents.
Now, is he selling anything? Is this a service that he's selling?
No, he's not selling it.
I mean, is there anything, because I don't want to suggest my listeners go there and buy anything. I don't know this guy. So I appreciate you sharing that with us, but from our stance, we don't,
right.
You understand, so we're not recommending or suggesting anybody go there, because I've never heard of him, and I wouldn't make those recommendations. So go ahead.
But if you will, so everybody, just to go to the Hagman and Hagman Report, 516th Friday program, okay, and listen to Greg Morris.
Okay.
And you can decide from there, because he has all the documentations and all that, and he's a whistleblower.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. We appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us.
Thank you.
All right, aloha.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with this particular report. There are a lot of people out here that are trying to do something along the way. And probably my guess is that most of them are well-intentioned. They see what has been happening to our homeowners. They see the tragedy that is going on here. And they recognize that there's a real problem. And the problem was originally started in the way they decided to do these mortgage loans, and the major lenders and the guys on Wall Street got together and said, hey, we can make lots of money doing this. So that's where it began, and that's what caused the whole problem that went into 2008, which caused our... Now, there are lots of other things that go into that, but if you want to go back to the root, there's the root of what really happened. He mentioned MERS. There's a system that is being used by the lenders today where they take the mortgages and assign them to mortgage electronic registration systems, that's MERS, and the note goes a different direction. Now, there's a lot of question about whether that's valid or not, and when they make that change, because we have a 1872, I guess, or 74 Supreme Court decision that says if you separate the note and the mortgage, that's a U.S. Supreme Court decision now, that says if you separate the note and the mortgage, well, the mortgage is invalid, doesn't seem to be... carry any weight today, although it hasn't been overturned anywhere.
Right.
But they have a system, and this system is patented. Okay, this whole system about how to do these mortgages and what to do with them is a patented system. Kind of interesting. Anyway, MERS, yes, if anybody looks at their mortgage, they're likely to see that MERS has made the beneficiary of the mortgage. And that's one of the problems that where I think they messed up when they were doing all this, because they didn't transfer the mortgage along with the note to the person who held the note. Mm-hmm. And so it gives us some opportunity by doing these audits to point out these discrepancies along the way and say, hey, Your Honor, these things weren't done right, and therefore they're invalid.
And that should be automatic anyway, because the courts realize that we got $71 million because of the fraudulent practices, and yet we are treating it as if they're still the good guys, the good fellows.
People got payments. They attempted to do a payment to people who were abused by the banks in one way or another, mm-hmm. either with foreclosure or the way they handled their loan modifications. And most of those payments, finally after about 2.5 years, they gave up trying to figure it out, and they just sent out checks that ranged generally around $300 to a lot of people whose homes were foreclosed on. Right. And they did send out a few checks that were in the few $1,000 category, but most of them were between $300 and $500, because a number of clients, people I was working with, got some of those checks. And that was supposed to be their compensation for all the hassle that they went through trying to get their loans modified with these lenders. And some of them had lost their homes in the meantime.
$300?
$300 to $500.
No, I'm...
I've heard of some $3,000.
Yeah.
And lenders are still offering my clients cash for keys. I think the highest I got was $6,500.
I don't want to kind of one-up you here.
Oh, okay, you're going to one-up me, right?
But I did, and most of them are right there. Most of them are in the $2,000-$5,000 range is what they do. I do have one client on Maui. He got $125,000.
Fabulous. Okay. Yeah, that's still under fair market value.
But you know, that's very much an exception, okay? So, anyway.
But those that don't get anything and they're still going through the process, what's the outlook? You think the court's going to be receptive to receiving this forensic analysis or eventually, or are they going to even have hearings to allow you to have evidentiary hearings?
The quickest way, Carol, would be for the judges to realize that there are defects in the chain of title with regards to the mortgage and assignment of mortgages. Therefore, the lender does not have standing to bring the foreclosure. However, that would probably clear the court's calendar to such magnitude that our judges are not amenable to that. We don't have enough resources to prosecute the banks. Our judicial system. We don't have enough judges to take care of all of these cases. That, however, they don't want to also look at it as if the banks don't have standing, the banks do not have standing.
Right.
They don't do it that way. And I guess there was another. I believe we're out of
time. Go ahead. We got about 30 seconds for you. Go ahead, if you would.
My issues are mostly evidentiary. Documents are coming in for the benefits of the banks without having an expert witness to say for the defense side that those documents are brought along by fraud or misrepresentation. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. It is one-sided in that regard.
Edna, you have anything in closing real quick?
Well, there is a lender's attorney telling us that you cannot challenge the validity of the assignment of mortgage, which is in U.S. Bank versus Harpster. It says in here that this allowed evidence due to fabrication of documents provides assignment. The lender's attorney should have known better. They are entrusted to maintain integrity of the justice system.
Oh, I do want to make one more comment.
Go ahead real quick because we're coming down.
Okay, real quick. In that consent judgment, I did read that it said that the banks would have to have a third party to review all of their mortgage documents and assignment of mortgages to verify their validities.
Yes.
However, that I have not seen. Mm-hmm. If this new act that was signed by our governor is just allowing foreclosure mills to rely on the bank's affidavit without this third party as per that consent judgment, then that in of itself is in violation.
Thank you for having me here. Appreciate that part. If somebody does, we're in the business of trying to help homeowners stay in their homes.
Okay.
And we usually do that through loan modifications. And we do have an in-house attorney. We use Melody as well, along with some others along the way. And so sometimes attorneys are necessary in that. Okay. So if they do want to call us at
537-4111?
That's a good number.
537-4111. What's your number, Melody?
Okay, my number is 808-258-8889. I also have two email addresses. Aduhalaw, AduJalaw at gmail.com, or simply foreclosure808@gmail.com. Thank you, Edna,
Melody, and Courtney. We'll see you next week, guys, and we'll be back to talk with you again. Aloha.
All right, thanks.
What do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting on you. Yeah, there's something wrong with me.
has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.